We've spent the last few Sundays of this new year talking about our relationship with Christ, our relationship with God, that God sent His Son into the world so that we could be connected with Him. The new year is one of those times where we remember whatever those commitments that we have a need to recommit ourselves and reconnect ourselves, rededicate ourselves. And there's no more important commitment, of course, than our relationship with God and our commitment to Christ. And so we've been talking about reconnecting to Christ. And a few Sundays back, does anybody still have one of these? You see, I know it's very small, but I have my little string. I was able to get, those of you who are here that day, I got some good pictures I want to show you for just a moment. Starting from my left, I know this. They are holding up a string. If you're visiting today, they are holding up a string. We are tied together here at Hillcrest, and I've got a few good pictures here. Yeah, we've got some good ones in here. And then I want you to notice this last photo. You might not be able to see. We had the Freed Hardeman Choir that was sitting right over here that day. And many of them were very proud and had their strings up. But there were these two boys seated right towards the front, and you can kind of see them there. They almost look like they're wrestling. They're struggling like there's a clock about to, an alarm about to go off, or a bomb about to go off if they don't get their string tied. It was a great moment to be able to capture that. This was a neat thing, but something that was very neat to me about this later was I had several different people who came up to me and said, "You don't realize how much that small exercise with a piece of string, that God actually used that." And that maybe we don't realize this, but it's very easy for even Christians to become disconnected and isolated from one another. Even Christians who are sitting by each other week after week after week. And so we know that part of God's calling for us to reconnect to Him is this both an upward and also a width way across the aisles kind of connection that God is calling us to connect to Him and to connect to one another. And then last week we talked about the community, that God also cares for everyone that's out in the community, and He cares how we treat those who are not Christians and don't have ties to us. Today we are kind of going, what is the crux of the matter here, and really the whole point. We're talking about God's calling to us to reconnect with the unchurched. That God has given us a responsibility not only to be tied to one another, but that God has given us this responsibility to take what He has given us in Christ Jesus and share that with all the world. That the most significant thing that we're going to do in our lives is take the salvation of Christ, and part of what it exists in us to do is to go out, isn't it? And to connect Christ to others, to other lives. Going back to that video that I showed you just a moment ago, I don't know how many of you have... Well, we talked about loving your neighbor last week. I hope that wasn't your neighbor that we showed up there earlier. And I hope that you haven't been that guy. But the truth is, it is a challenge sometimes to know what do we say? How do we talk to someone about our faith? Or how do we invite them to church? How do we begin to engage the conversation of Christ and of salvation? Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a confession to you. I have been that guy before. Many years ago, I was a very zealous teen Christian. I was very young. I had my best friend over at my house. We were playing video games one night. We were playing Mortal Kombat, in fact, one night. And after the game was over, I don't know what was in me. I know that I had heard something at church and from the preacher recently about our need to share our faith, and I don't know what it was, but in that moment I thought, now that we're done playing Mortal Kombat, this would be a good time to talk about Jesus. And you can imagine that my 13-year-old best friend, we're both 13 years old, You can imagine what he must have felt like in that moment when his best friend turns the video game off and says, "Now let's talk about Jesus." I've been that guy. I've been that, the awkward invitation. And I meant real well, but in that moment, I no longer was seeing him as my friend. I was seeing him as a project. It took me years to kind of... A lot of this is trial and error, isn't it? And God bless this mess because I tried, but God help us to learn how to talk to people and how to connect to them and how to see them and how to understand them. Let's look at this text one more from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you read along with me in verses 14 and following? Such a powerful text. We see in this text the mission and the lifeblood of the church. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your holy word. And God, as we reflect and think about this ministry that you've given to all of us as Christ followers, God, what an honor it is to be your ambassador, your followers, your disciples, to be the ones who are lifting up your face and your message to shine your light to the world. God, we pray that you would help us to hear anew and to be refreshed to the task that you've given us to share the life-giving message, to help people find their home in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We know this message is so important. We know that this is a calling that's been given to all Christians, but it also terrifies us at the same time, doesn't it? It's scary to think that God is asking you to be the one, to be the point of connection, to be the link in the chain that is going from God on high to the neighbor that's around you, to that person in our community, whoever it is, whether they're on the other side of the globe or they're right here down the street from us. And it is a struggle sometimes to know, well, how is this going to make them feel, or what if I do it the wrong way? And certainly, there are so many ways that we can take our faith and use it more like an axe than an opportunity to be able to build a bridge with somebody. And so because of our fear of doing it the wrong way, sometimes what we do is we just say, you know what? Someone else who's better at talking about these things, that's the one that God wants to use. And I would just want to say to you for just a moment, there's a reason why God is alive in you, and there's a way that He's able to use you specifically to reach somebody else that is uniquely geared towards your giftedness or your perspective or your associations so that God's calling of this ministry of reconciliation is one where we get to partner in this, and it's not us putting our hand or exalting ourselves above someone else who doesn't know Christ or above someone else who's not associated with church. It's not that at all. In fact, what it is it's a way for us to come down to other people's levels and say, you know what? We're all in the same situation. We're all in the same boat. That the reality is, we're all dealing with this sense of lostness and a longing for someone to find us and accept us and love us and forgive us and make us feel secure and make us feel like we belong. But we're so many, and we're guilty of this too, chasing the wrong things for that. But those struggles can become a great starting point. That God is doing something in me. And I'm so thankful. And I see in your own life a lot of myself. A lot of the same struggles that I'm dealing with here. I love this text as well because Paul's very, very heart is kind of being poured out here as he speaks to these Christians that he's dealing with some reconciliation issues with himself. That there's actually a bit of scar tissue that's there between Paul and this church. And so that even as he's talking to them about these words of reconciliation, he's actually talking to the Christians as well, that this is an ongoing work for us too. And it's so important that we are being reconciled more fully to God, Christians, because the witness and the responsibility that we have to reach the world is also dependent on what are we bringing them to? Just a bunch of individuals who want nothing to do with one another. And so you have a multi-layered conversation that's going on here, and you hear love's plea above the voice of all of this. Whatever other issues that the church is dealing with here, Paul's words to them, the love of Christ compels us. Something's happened here, so that even though this is difficult and starting the conversation is hard and admitting that there's wrongs that have created this rift between us, love is the love that Christ has shown us is so great and so powerful. I can't not make this first step towards healing and towards reconciliation. Can I share with you a story of where I've seen this or heard about this in a powerful way? A young man by the name of Tim, he was a junior high age at this time. His whole life, he grew up with his father. His mother had abandoned him, and it was just so. It was him and his father for basically all of his life. His father owned a bar. They lived in the room upstairs above the bar, so he saw everything. From a very young age, he saw alcoholism, drugs, and things that whatever there is to be experienced, it was a part of his world. Whenever Tim was in junior high, one day he was on a cold morning. He was making his walk to school, and a car pulled up beside him, and the window rolled down, and he noticed that he recognized one of the young people in the car as one of his classmates. And so here his classmate's family had pulled over there, and they simply asked Tim, "Would you like a ride? It's cold outside." And they also noticed that Tim wasn't wearing much to be warm. He had kind of grown out of his coat that he was wearing, and so he wasn't very well covered up. But Tim was a pretty tough kid, and he said, "No, I'm fine. I make this walk every day." And so they went on, and school went on that day. Tim, whenever he came home from school that day, he saw a package on the front porch of his home. And he opened the package, and there inside was a nice new jacket. He put it on, and it fit him perfectly. And it wasn't long after that that a relationship struck up between Tim and his classmate and their family. And next thing you know, not only was he able to get rides to school, but they offered and he accepted for rides to their church. And so he was going with them for a time, and soon he became a Christian. And here is Tim now. He is a young man. His father's doing his own life and doesn't want to have anything to do with God or church. And his mother has had nothing to do with him or his father for all of his life. But this family has shown an interest in Tim, and he now has found a family in the youth group of his church. And years go by, and he's flourishing in his faith, and he's flourishing in the youth group. And so God has motivated him to reach out to his mother that he's estranged from. And over time, they actually are able to start to build a relationship, one that where Tim is actually able to share the gospel with his mother, and his mother becomes a believer and follower of Jesus. But it wasn't long after this that his mother became very ill and died. His father wanted to have nothing to do with the funeral service, and he refused to go. So Tim was going to go by himself, the only family. His youth director and his youth group picked him up, drove him to the funeral. And whenever the moment came in the service where they have the family stand, all of the youth went and stood with Tim so that he wasn't alone. You want to talk about the church having a ministry of reconciliation? You want to talk about the church having a ministry and a need and a responsibility to connect to the unchurched? This is just one story. And it has a wonderful, happy ending. Later, Tim would be able to, after much work and much patience, even Tim's father could see the good things that not only was happening in Tim's life, but he saw that these people, those teenagers, and that church really did care for his son and cared for him. And he became a believer as well. And this has been many years past now. And guess what Tim grew up to study and become? He's a youth minister. But you know what? That's how those stories often... It's because somebody affected their life so much. That person becomes what they want to be. What he received, he wanted to give and share with others. And it's such a powerful thing. We don't always think about it, do we? We're in church, and a lot of the people that you know are in church, and we don't always think about the Tims that may be in our community. Darren Cox shared with us last Sunday, and if you were like me, you were hanging on the words that he was saying when he brought to attention that even right here in our community, here in Abilene, there's a lot of young people, a lot of students, a lot of classmates to our children who are dealing with all kinds of things. And they don't have someone, a family, or stability, or love, and acceptance that's being given to them. A study has shown recently that there is this growing number in America. America is experiencing a bit of a shift right now. For many years, it seemed like going to church was a fairly common, and having a church family was something that so many had, but the numbers are showing that more and more people are falling into this new religious category that's actually not a religious. They're called nones. They have no religious affiliation. And in fact, just last year a Pew Research study showed that almost 30% of incoming college freshmen identified themselves as nones. They had no religious affiliation of any kind. And I merely bring that to your attention to say, we in the church have to learn, how do we even begin to engage somebody who's coming from a background like Tim? Or someone who's just, maybe they're indifferent, maybe there was a bad experience in the past, whatever it may be, that so that they've reached a point in their life where they don't see the significance of faith, or they don't see the significance of belonging to a community of faith. And if we're not careful, our actions and our attitudes will actually affirm their reasons. But then we have this other side and this other calling, where the church, when it shines, clearly exists to share life. Maybe some of you remember this story from many decades ago of a plane crash in Washington, D.C. in the Potomac River in January of 1982. 78 passengers on Florida Flight 90 were killed on impact when the plane crashed. But there were 6 survivors. And they couldn't reach. It was too cold, and you can see the ice on the water there. They couldn't even get boats out to the people who were the 6 survivors that were stranded in the water. And so even with the wind and things, it was dangerous. But they were just able to get a helicopter to fly over and drop down a lifeline from the helicopter to the survivors. One of those survivors was named Arland. He was 46 years old. He was a banker. The line came down to Arland first, and he took the lifeline and he passed it to his neighbor, and they were safely carried up. The lifeline came down a second time, and he did the same thing again. He passed it away from himself and handed it to his neighbor. He did this 5 times. Each time it came down to him, and he passed it off. And when the 5th survivor was safely lifted up, those rescuers in the helicopter saw that the man in the water was no longer there. Arlen didn't survive. But those who did survive that day knew that the man who was in the water with them kept handing out hope. Church, we have been called by God to be His ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal in your own life, to speak up and say to them, be reconciled to God. There's a card in the seat back in front of you, a little prayer card that should be placed there. And I want to draw your attention to it at this time. It just says, it has Romans 10:1 on it. It has a little life preserver there. And it says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. And then I have a little space on here for you to write in somebody's name. And what I want us to do with this is, if you have someone in your life, and maybe someone that's on your heart even as you're listening to this morning, that you're saying, God, please open the heart of my friend or my neighbor, or my daughter, or my son, or my parents, or my family member, please open their heart to Jesus. I want you to write down a person's name, or maybe it's someone that's no longer a part. They used to be a part of the church, but they're no longer there. Will you write down someone's name there and pass those cards to the center of the aisle? And at the close of service today, we're going to have these cards picked up, and each one of these names is going to be prayed over. I do have a few extra cards. If you need a few extra cards, I can have those given to you at this time. Does anybody need an extra card? I have one right over here, boys. Caleb, we have some over here. Church, I know we're a church that believes in the power of prayer. You blessed my family's life. I have baskets of prayers, your prayers that are in my house right now. Many of them written by children. Many of them written by you. We believe that God is able to hear these prayers. Your prayers matter. We don't know what hearts, what lives God may be able to open up. Does anybody else need a card? This whole series and this whole message is for us. Whether it's your relationship with Christ personally, whether it's your relationship with your brother or sister, whether it's how you see your community here, your neighbors here in Abilene, or how you see people that don't know Jesus. We're all being called to be reconciled. We all need this Jesus. Maybe you have that need in your life today. If you're not a Christian, to come and confess His name, to have your sins washed away in baptism, and become a part of the family. Or if you're a child of God that's needing to be strengthened today, you can respond right now. We're going to have some elders up front here if you need to pray, or some elders in the back as well. You can respond to that invitation right now as we stand and sing.